This is City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9.
Right, you're listening to City Talk 105.9 with me, Matt Jones, and I'm joined by a very special guest in the studio right now. It's former Tranmere Rovers defender Ian Goodison. Ian, welcome to the Radio City Tower. You've just been admiring the view.
Yeah, it's a good view. Very high.
You're over here to talk about your testimonial, which is on Monday, and it's going to be a great occasion, isn't it? And a well-earned testimonial after 10 hard-earned years at Tranmere.
Yeah, I think I deserve it. I always try to do my best, 100%. So I think the chairman come together with the staff them and say I deserve at least a testimonial.
What's it going to mean to you to be able to go out there and play on Prenton Park just one more time and see those fans?
It means a lot to me because I think when I leave, I didn't leave to say goodbye, or was supposed to say goodbye the season before. So it means a lot to me to come back and please my fans them give me a good welcome send off.
And you've got some great names coming over. We'll talk a bit about them later. But fantastic that so many people have said, yeah, I want to come and play in that game. I want to come and give him the send-off he deserves.
Yeah, loads of people want to turn up. And as soon as I get in contact with the players, everyone was like, yeah, definitely want to get involved. Good lad, he deserves it.
And you played with some incredible players. Of course, you played in a World Cup. A lot of those Jamaican players are going to come over and say thank you. And plenty of former Tranmere players who perhaps have been a bit forgotten by the fans are coming back as well.
Yeah, like Eugene Daddy's coming back. Tyrone. Loads of players is coming back. Ian Sharp. Players I was close to. Gaz Taylor. Loads of players coming back. And Jamaica players, you got like Ricardo Gardner. Used to play for Bolton. He's coming. Ibrahim Bar. Is coming, former France player, World Cup winner, Mwamba, Bolton Wanderers player. So we've got a good, nice looking squad.
Who was the player who, when you knew this testimonial has happened, you wanted there most?
To be fair, what I did want it most, I didn't get in contact with them because I think they might be busy. He's one of my favourite player. Like, England player that used to pass England player. I think that's his Pascal. Good player.
Did you manage to get in touch with Usain Bolt or Chris Gayle at all? Because there were talks that you might be able to get them over.
Yeah, I speak to them. Chris Gayle got a tournament going on now. So he couldn't make it. He gave me a signed bat to raffle. And Usain gave me signed spikes, signed T-shirt to raffle. So we got those type of stuff as well from them because they couldn't make it because I think some running event is coming up. No, Usain said.
We'll talk a bit more about your testimonial later on, but if we could talk a bit about Tranmere at the moment as well, and it must make you really sad to see what has happened, not just over the last 12 months, but the last 24 months actually.
Yeah, definitely, because it's not fair to the fans to see this happen over again. And Tranmere is a big club. Tranmere is not a club to in that division, or neither in the one there was before. Tranmere is a big club, it's a championship club. So the fans don't deserve that.
You've seen them play a bit this year. In your opinion, why has it gone wrong?
Well, just start of the season, they're looking quite okay to me, all right. I could say, yeah, they're going to finish me. They're going to be all right. I didn't expect this support to happen. So, threaten to see the table turn. In the middle of the season, they get a good run, could make it for a run for the playoff or something, about 7 game. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what's going wrong. They just start to lose, draw, lose, not keeping a clean sheet.
How hard is it when you'll know as a player, when you get into that kind of rut of a losing form, to get out of it, to just get that win that could make the whole difference?
I know, but players them have to come together and as a team. And try the best out to get out of that position. Because once in that position, losing, it's hard to get out. Managers and everybody have to come together, get on the training ground, do their best to try to get out of that losing stream. Because it's very hard to get out once you're in it.
You saw the Oxford game, I think I saw you at a couple of weeks ago, where they lost 3-0. And that was really the one I think that many people thought, well, that is it now. They're not going to get back. What was your take on that game?
Well, I don't think they didn't score like old players. It's just three, like, basic goal. I don't think the defenders should work. I didn't think the defender them do well for them three goals, because it's three basic goal. It's not like the old players on the day. So I don't think we deserve to lose that game. But at the end of the day, we get like two chances. So if we finish them two chances, the game might be changed. So it's just one of those days. You have to keep a clean sheet to win a game.
And you were the master at helping them keep clean sheets. But I think you go back and I don't think they've kept one since January. And that really says it all, doesn't it? They haven't kept a clean sheet since January and now they've been relegated from the Football League.
You can see that to tell a big difference, because when I was there, I got like Ash Taylor next to me and Danny Holmes next to me and Zoom. So we always be compact with that tight four, and Ronnie used to make a keep tight shape, and the goalkeeper, when I was like compact, we was a team. So we do our best to make sure no goal long score.
You mentioned Ronnie there. The perfect time to hear from him now, actually. And I spoke to him a few days ago. He, of course, in a twist of fate, has kept Hartlepool up, Tranmere going down. And he thinks if he was still in charge of the club now, they wouldn't be in the league position they are. So let's just hear from Ronnie briefly.
What happened at Tranmere was ridiculous, to be fair. I should still be there now, in my eyes. I think the decision that was made was wrong. I think the decision that was made now has proved to be wrong. I'm disappointed for Tranmere. The Tranmere have gone down. You know, that's the thing. Someone had to go. I just wish, really, and honestly, wish it was somebody else, because I had some fantastic years at Tranmere as a player, as a coach, as a manager, and I enjoyed every minute. And I hate the thought of 94 years in the league. So to see them go is a shock, really. And I just wish them luck, and hopefully they can get straight back out.
Yeah, we saw your reaction on Saturday on the pitch when you heard out the results. Was there any bit of a bit of sweetness to it, because you knew that that meant the club that means so much to you had gone?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, people say, oh, you've got to celebrate. You know, at the time, you don't even think about anything. Nothing's in your head but your safety. You know, I was just, it was do or die, as simple as that. And, you know, that happens in football. And it's, like I say, it's just incredible when you think about it, the way things have gone since I left the club. And some people will blame me, wrongly, I think. But it's, you know, I can't say anything about that. I know that I gave everything to the club, and I think the decision that was made when the truth was out on all the circumstances was wrong. But I can't right the wrong, it's been done. And I just have to look to the future now.
Do you think then, in that respect, the club have only got themselves to blame for the position that they're in? And that's nothing to do with the current ownership, of course, because they came in after you'd gone.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't him. You know, I left the club when we were 2 points off fourth and bottom. We just had a great result at Bristol City. And as a manager, you get a feel for things, and you think, yeah, you know, you can smell when things have turned around. And I honestly felt that things would turn around, and then to end up being put on gardening leave for something that was so petty, it was untrue, a basic mistake made by myself. And I've said that openly. You know, I've made a mistake, but everybody makes mistakes in life. It wasn't like I was betting £2,000 a time on Blooming Tranmere to get beat or whatever. It was a ridiculous situation that happened. But, you know, I think if I'd have stayed there, I don't know, I haven't got a crystal ball. I can only say what I feel. And I don't believe we'd have gone down. And I certainly think we'd have been playing in League One instead of now having to play in the Conference.
Ronnie Moore there speaking about Hartlepool staying up and Tranmere going down. Ian, do you think he'd have made a difference at the back end of last season if he hadn't lost his job?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think we'd go down. He's good at keeping teams up.
Never been relegated,
yeah,
has he?
Yeah, he could show that. Check his stats. So I don't think he will go down if he definitely stay there. But I guess the owner for the club make their decision. So
And you look at the last, I think it was seven games maybe of last season, and Tranmere didn't manage to win any of them. And just one win would have made a massive difference going into that last game of the season against Bradford.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know what's going wrong. As Ronnie said, if he was there, as I say, don't got a crystal ball, but we have more chance with him.
Do you think you'd have made a difference this season?
That's a two mistake they make. Get rid of Ronnie and get rid of me.
And what was that conversation like when you went in? Because a lot of fans would have thought he's proved he's worth another year. He played 25 games this season. And I a lot of them hark back to that Bolton game in the League Cup where you played 120 minutes against a Championship strike force.
And everyone thought I was finished until that Bolton game. I didn't play 90 minutes for a couple of months till that Bolton game, and I played 120. And fans them see that like, oh, he still got it in him. And I play a couple more games after that. But that's history. When I go in end of the season where we get relegated, the following week, going to meet John McMahon and Mick Harton. To be honest, me and all the players think are going to get the next year. Got the captain, Wallace. He was like, oh, you're going to be okay, definitely. Sure, you're going to get the next season. You deserve it. You're sure you deserve it because we don't got no defender as good as you. Because they bring like about 5-4 defenders on loan. I was still losing and I was still on the bench. You have to take off defender what they bring on loan to put me on. And it was something different when I get on. So I didn't understand why I was on the bench. But anyway, when I go in and so one thing they say, thanks for your service, and we're moving on. We're going to bill. And up to today, I don't see nothing what we bill. We're getting relegated again. You get rid of me, and you get rid of a good defender, and then after that, you get rid of a goal scorer. That's Lowy. That's at Berry. So that's two wrong moves. And then the captain, that's a good midfielder, that's Wallace, he gone as well. So your defender, your best midfielder and your best striker that give you 20 goals a season. That's three important players leave the team. So I don't say, understand where you're going to build without a foundation. So if you have me, Wallace, Lowy, with the kids them, to make a difference, because they're learning from us.
And you lost Ash Taylor as well,
and
of course.
You lost Ash Taylor as well. That's an good defender. Come here, Ash Taylor have a good relationship at the back. We know each other. He come through the rank, play with me, everything. He know everything about me. He know when to cover me. I know when to cover him. So, but as I said, they tell me, sir, my time was up. They're going to bill on that. And don't see Jack McMahon, however, bill anything from that.
And you look at League Two football, which we've seen this year at Prenton Park, and Tranmere just haven't handled it at times. And it is very much a rough, big, strong physical league, and I guess you think you'd have made a difference in that because that's very much your game.
I know, because everyone, players, sometimes used to go in, train with Greg, the physio, because me and him is close. Sometime in the morning, I go in and train with him. Sometimes some of the players, they might come in early and, oh, good, we could do well with you. This is your type of game. This is definitely your league. Edit, kick it, strong, bully. That's the time of league. This one where they're going in, they're going to be worse. Non-league. Because our type of people play non-league, it's going to be worse for them. If you're not mentally strong for long league and second division, you cannot play it. Because you have to be mentally strong, especially when you go away. So, that's as Ronnie said. They make their decision. So, sorry for them and didn't want to go that way because it's a big club and they don't deserve that, especially the fans them. Especially away fans them. They're brilliant.
Well, you're listening to City Talk 105.9 with me, Matt Jones. I'm joined in the studio by Ian Goodison, and we'll hear some more from him after the break, as well as from Ben Harrison, who's the chairman of the Tranmere Rovers Supporters Trust.
City Talk 105.9. This is City Talk 105.9.
And welcome back to City Talk 105.9 with me, Matt Jones. And I'm joined in the studio by former Tranmere player Ian Goodison, who's got his testimonial coming up at the club on Monday. We'll talk a bit more about that coming up, but we'll just continue to talk about Tranmere, what went wrong this season as well, of course, getting relegated for the second year running, and we'll be playing non-league football next year. And Ian, non-league football, that's just something that, well, for Tranmere fans, it's been unheard of for 94 years. It's incredible, really.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I don't think Tranmere fans used to this. You understand? I hope they go and support the lads, whoever going to play in this non-league, because at the end of the day, they need the support to get back up. So they still have to go away and support their team, because at the end of the day, yeah, Tranmere fans, nothing changing that.
It's not a division you've played in before. Obviously, you've always been in the Football League, but it's not going to be easy to get out of it, because you'll have played against non-league opposition in pre-season friendlies, in FA Cup ties as well. You'll know a bit about the teams that are down there.
Yeah, people say it's non-league, I think it might be easy, but it's a very hard league to get out of. If you get out of non-league, you could survive in any other league, because it's a very hard league. You have to properly be strong mentally and physically. Guys, some strong players in that league.
And we've seen teams in the past who've got promoted from the conference, and then the next season they've gone up again, because you've got that momentum. Fleetwood are one who come to mind in recent years. It can be done.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I hope it's a good thing for Tranmere to go down and then come all the way back up. I might end up in the championship in 3-4 years time. So sometime you never know what's around the corner.
Would you like to go back there and help out at some point?
I always want to go back at Tranmere. I didn't want to leave in the first place. And the fans, them know that. The fans, them was disappointed. Like when they see me at the games, they're like, can they still don't replace me? Check the stats. They still don't replace me. From 4 or 5 years since I started to sit on the bench, it might be one defender alone that come in. I always said, yeah, Gibbo.
Ben Gibson.
Ben Gibson. He's a good defender.
And he's a player playing now for England under-21s.
That's what I'm saying. He's the only one that come in and play my position. I put my hand up and say, yeah, he's okay to take that position.
So do you think that your body could handle another year of professional football next season?
Easy. In non-league, easy. You got people that bigger than me playing non-league. So that would be easy. That would be no problem.
We'll hear some more from Ian shortly, but I caught up with Ben Harrison, who's the chairman of the Tranmere Rovers Supporters Trust, and he told me how it feels to now know that Tranmere are a non-league club.
It doesn't feel great. It's a massive disappointment. But we can only build from here on in. Let's look at the positives. We've got the right owners who are doing the right things. I suppose it's faced the kind of, you know, the one thing that hasn't happened for us is what's happened on the pitch.
When does it sink in? Is it when the fixtures come out? Is it when you play that first game of the season? When you see the League Cup first round draw and Tranmere won't be in it?
I think it's going to be the fixtures, because I believe the Football League fixtures are out before the conference fixtures, and then everyone will think, where's Tranmere? But I'd most probably say to Tranmere fans, let's get used to it now. I think our problem last year, we kind of thought we were too big for League Two. And certainly looking at some of the players, you could almost put that out there. And unfortunately, Mark and Nicola never joined the club till September, and they were given an impossible task of turning around 10 years of underinvestment.
What went wrong then? Is it that money thing? Is that all it's down to?
No, I don't think so, because I think they picked the right manager. I don't think you meet many Tranmere fans who didn't think Mickey Adams was the right manager. He was given money and it just didn't happen. And I think that does happen in football, and kind of, you know, we are where we are.
But this isn't something that's happened over one season. It has been decline, you could say, for 6 years since the first time Ronnie Moore left.
Yeah. And you could almost trace it back to the moment when Peter Johnson went to Everton Football Club. I think if you're really going back far, that's when his declared his intention that he wasn't really supporting Tranmere anymore. He came back to the club, but did he have to, because he still owned it? And you can't fix that in 9 months, unfortunately. And I think now, as a trust, the trust members, the fans, let's get 100% behind this football club and get it back into the league.
Mark Palios obviously took over last summer, and there was so little he could do off the pitch, though there are so many positive things that have been put in place by him, Nicola, the new commercial director, that do make the future a bit brighter for Tranmere fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one encouraging thing. Some of the clubs similar to Tranmere have dropped out the league, have kind of panicked and not in a good state, and they've had to regroup in the conference. I think we've already, in a way, been doing our regrouping, been doing the right things off the pitch, and it'll hold us in good stead.
But you're an associate director now, so how hard is it going to be for yourself, any of the board members, to make decisions now they're a conference club compared to when they were a league club?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult because I think sponsorship deals are not what they are in League Two. It's going to be tricky, but if we all pull together, I'm sure Mark and Nicola are working on the plan as we speak. Let's go out there, let's go for it. Let's be real as well and say, are we going to get back in a year? If we do, it's a bonus. I think it's going to be a three-year plan.
How damaging is it to the reputation of Tranmere Rovers to no longer be a Football League club after 94 years?
It's damaging to the club, but I think fans themselves, from speaking to people over the weekend, I think people feel a little bit, it's talking to the friends of Liverpool and Everton fans, that kind of, I think that's the bit where they think, we're not even in the league now, there's not three league teams on Merseyside. And it's going to take time, but let's start from here.
Of course, one of the plans of Mark and Nicola Palios is to sell this idea of affordable live football. But if you are a football fan growing up on Merseyside at the moment, there are questions. Why would you want to support Tranmere given the success or perceived lack of it that they've had? It's very difficult to attract people to come here.
It is. That's going to be tricky. But at the end of the day, I don't think Liverpool and Everton's prices are going to go down. So let's stick with it. Let's build something. I mean, Bristol Rovers have found that, you know, the gates, when they went into the conference and they started winning games. I think Tranmere fans want to see us win some games again. The last 2 years, coming to Prenton Park, I think we've seen 10, 11 victories. And just have some winning football again. Okay, we're in the conference, but I think that'll bring people in.
Why has it gone so wrong over 2 years? Because before then, performances were holding up, or league position certainly was holding up.
Yeah, but I think behind the scenes, the structure of the club wasn't there. And I think that's what we've paid for. I think from a trust point of view, we wanted to take over the club because we didn't know who the buyer was going to be. And we'd have inherited exactly the same problems. And most probably we wouldn't have had the resources that Mark and Nicola have put in.
Would you have done anything differently if you had managed to take over?
I suppose in hindsight, it's a great thing. And, you know, you have to, because we represent the trust, people have to ask that question. You know, should Mickey Adams have been kept up to that point? But he had a reputation. Like Mark said, he referenced well. He had a good track record. He had the contacts in the game. Hindsight's a great thing. And unfortunately, it didn't happen.
So for a Tranmere fan, what are the positives now that they are a conference club, no longer a Football League club?
I think the positives, obviously, the kind of behind the scenes, the Ingleborough training ground has been sold. I would imagine the bank overdraft is going to come down. We're in a far better shape off the pitch. I mean, you can almost see the position where we're going to be debt-free. Other clubs have gone into the conference and been in such a mess. So that's a positive. We've got the right owners. I think people saw that at Plymouth to go into the away supporters. There's not many kind of owners of football clubs would dare do that any time, never mind when you're just about to be relegated. So we've got the right owners. We've now got some fan representation at the club. So it's going in the right direction.
Ben Harrison from the Tranmere Rovers Supporters Trust there. Still in the studio is Ian Goodison. We'll be hearing some more from him on his testimonial shortly after the break, and what a day it is going to be on Monday. But firstly, Ian, you've been saying how important it is for the fans to stick by the club when they go down. How important also is it for them to get a manager in and get him in quickly and start building a side for next year?
Yeah, but it's going to be hard because the manager we're going to get in, the players, them season finish, so the players are going to go on holiday, I guess. They have to get someone definitely could, where they know could bring back up this club. And I don't know if they're going to keep the players them. They're going to cut their wages, I don't know. That's the chairman part. But if they could keep the players them, because they got good players. They got Max Power, they got Geno. They got good players, they got Cole. They got good players there. So it's all up to the chairman if he's going to keep some of them or he's going to get rid of them. But to get back straight up, so it's up to them what they're going to do.
A lot of fans, if you read the internet, are saying they'd like to see all the players leave the club because they think you need a fresh start. But then that brings its own problems because you're building completely again. You want that nucleus there, don't you? As you mentioned in part one, when they lost yourself, Ryan Lowe, James Wallace and Ash Taylor last summer, it completely unsettled them.
Yeah, you got players that could keep at the club. You got players that come through the rank, come through the kids' academy, is still at the club. As I say, like Cole, and about 3-4 more players is still there. Good lad. That hungry to play. But first part of the season, they start off, Cole was playing. Was surprised when I Sikora on the bench, not playing. Guys, a good looking striker.
And you've got the likes of Jason Kumas in midfield.
Yeah, and Jerry Kirby, like a young kid who was looking good when I was there playing last season when I was there. So, no, he's in the stand, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, these are players who've almost fallen foul of what's happened at Tranmere in terms of the numbers of players that have been used this season. 52 have had a squad number, I think 48 have stepped on the pitch. So that means that all these young players who are developing aren't getting their chance to go out and prove themselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, all the kids that come through academy don't get a chance. And when you look at it, how many Tranmere, that's playing for Tranmere now? Maybe 3, 4. Back in the days, it used to be like maybe 5, 6 Tranmere players that come through the academy and everything. Every season, the youth are a little guy. Scout is watching some player that's coming to from academy playing for the senior team now. You don't got that at Tranmere no more. Every season you got like 2 players used to go for the championship. Maybe Premier League, last one was maybe Kreza. We don't got no more Kreza. Ash Taylor just get a move the other day. Every season when I just trying Tranmere football club, every season you got a young kid that come in the first team and scout is looking at him. We don't got that at Tranmere no more. I don't know why.
Well, hopefully that does change sometime in the near future. Or we'll be back with some more from Ian in part 3 shortly after the break. You're listening to City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9. This is City Talk 105.9.
And welcome back to the final part of this special Tranmere show here on City Talk 105.9. I'm Matt Jones and I'm joined in the studio by Ian Goodison, the former Tranmere player ahead of his testimonial on Monday. And we'll get on to that now, Ian. And you must be really looking forward to it. How's it going to feel when you walk down that tunnel and you walk onto the pitch for one more time?
It's going to be emotion because it's a couple of months well. It's going to be emotion just to hear the fans them. Just singing my name again and the drum beating, see the Jamaica flag in the stand. That's usually mean a lot to me when I was playing to Tranmere, when I see that Jamaica flag in the stand. I know it's a different culture of people singing my name.
Yeah,
that mean a lot to me.
They really took to you, didn't they? And that Jamaica flag, I think it appeared just after a hurricane had hit the Caribbean region, yeah, didn't it? And I know that really struck a chord with you.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I said. When I see that flag and... Can they take that flag at Tranmere and they take it away? So it's definitely mean a lot to me. Very emotional. Like, see the fans.
You've got Brian Little and Ronnie Moore coming back to manage the two sides. We'll hear from them shortly, but are they the two managers that stick out from your time at Tranmere as being the best two?
Yeah, I was at Hull with Brian Little before. So I'm always his player because... You got manager, you got players that play for manager. And Brian Lickham and Ranimo, I put my neck on the line for them. Sometimes I'm injured and I still have to go out and play. Because any day, they get me a job. So I make sure they keep their job. So I'm a type of player like that. So I always look up to them as a father figure.
Well, we'll hear from Brian now, Ian, and he's been telling us how he first came across you, and as he says, it was when he was at Hull City, and they were a lower league club then, not the Premier League side that they are, and that was when you first came onto his radar. So let's hear from Brian now.
I met Ian when I became the manager of Hull, which would be around about 1999. I went to Hull, and both he and Theodore were at Hull City. Theo was probably well known to everybody, you know, in terms of he'd been in the whole team, he was playing well. Ian had a bit of a tricky spell because he'd been injured a few times and what have you, but I first met him there, and to be honest, he was playing more as a sort of holding midfield player in those days. And again, you know, he was... sort of slightly more quiet than Theodore, so it was more difficult to get to know, sort of thing. But yeah, I met them at Hull City, and there was something about him. I mean, I always felt there that he was a good player once you got on the pitch and got to see him. So That's a long time ago now. It's a good, It's a good 16, 17 years ago now, yeah.
And he was obviously someone you rated highly because he was one of the first people that you brought in when you got the Tranmere job.
Well, again, you know, when I went to Tranmere, Ian was searching for a club prior to that. I remember I'd actually taken Ian down to Bristol City. I remember ringing Danny Wilson, who was manager of Bristol City prior to me going to Tranmere. And Ian had been injured. Again, he'd had a bad injury, which had kept him out. And I actually rang Danny Wilson and said, look, will you have a look at this lad? I said, he played for me at Hull, and I think he's ideal for you. As it turned out, Danny said, look, he's done well, but we're just not looking for that type of player. So I'd made some contact with Ian prior to him going to me going to Tranmere. When I went there, immediately I thought, right, I'll get Ian in and have a look at him and see how he does, because, you know, I needed to check up what Danny had said. You know, I mean, he'd been recovering from an injury, and so I needed to look at him. But I contacted him and he came straight over, had him up there. And to be honest with you, he probably had the worst training session I've ever seen him have the first day. I took him up there to the point that John McMahon, myself, I'm not sure whether Hilly had joined me then straight away, because it was pretty straight away. And we all looked and we was just saying, oh, he hadn't done very well today. And I said, I said, look, he hadn't done well. We've got to give him a few days to see if he settles down. And he did. So he did settle down, and pretty much the rest is probably history from there on in. But I'm not sure if he remembers his first training session at Tranmere, but he was terrible. He had an absolute nightmare. And but I decided, you know, the others were looking at me going, are you sure? And I'm going, well, I know he's trained bad today, but, you know, I've got to have a look at him. I can't believe that injury's knocked him back that much, sort of thing. But, it'd be interesting to know whether he remembers that first training session. I've never really spoken to him about it. But, you know, we quite easily could have sent him home, sort of thing. But thankfully we didn't.
You've worked with some fantastic players in your career, including the likes of Gareth Southgate. So where does Ian rank in terms of the players you've managed?
Well, I always, you know, people say, because I've managed in the Premier League and the Championship and Division 1, Division 2, Conference and Conference North, have such a wide variation of people that you have to deal with. And I always... Ian is one of two or three players who I always say, well, you know, I might have signed Gareth Southgate for 2 point something million, and he probably turned out to be one of my best signings. You know, I also signed like Mark Draper for 3 million and Milosevic for 3.5, who eventually was sold in Italy for 20 odd million. But then I always say, you know, but then I was at clubs where I had to sign free transfers. You know, and Ian is one of in amongst that crop of players who I would always say, I signed a lad called Ian Goodison, you know, Jamaican international. Didn't cost me a penny. You know, never gave me a day's problem, because, you know, I got on well with him. And, you know, pound for pound, penny for penny, you know, you can't beat them type of signing.
Former Tranmere manager Brian Little speaking to me there. And Ian picked up on one thing there, and that was that first training session that he said was one of the worst he's ever seen. What are your memories of that one?
Well, just coming, it was from all. Live back in Jamaica, nice and warm. Come back to Tranmere Rovers, first time. First training session, fly over the next morning training session, go up to the training ground. You just want to just get that first day out of you. I think that first day was the worst day at the training session. Like, the players almost like, where this player come from? Everyone was like surprised, like, something different, where this player come from. I did have a bad day, that morning, but just because Brian Little know what type of player I'm is, he's thick and believe in me, I know I could do a job for him.
Well, the man who inherited you from Brian Little when Brian left the club in 2006 was Ronnie Moore, and he's been telling us his memories of you as well, and just how good a player you were for him in his time at Tranmere.
It was a one-off, really, because, you know, we used to all have to report back for pre-season training. Goody always went home to Jamaica and was never back on time. Harvey did a pre-season. get goals and praise the way only he can play. You know, he was just a one-off. I mean, everything that you shouldn't do as a professional footballer regarding your fitness, you know, he did. I mean, how could he never have a pre-season or very rarely have a pre-season and then go and play 40-odd games during the season? It was just incredible.
You must have been doing your nut over him at some times, waiting for him to come back.
Oh, without doubt, you know. And the players knew it, and I knew it. I could have battered him and took money off him and whatever, but, you know, he'd given me so much as a player and as a person. We had a great relationship. He knew how far he could push me before I'd come down on him like a ton of bricks. So, you know, yeah, you did pull your hair out, but whenever he came back and played, you know, he was a fantastic player and leader on the pitch.
400 appearances for Tranmere over 10 years, a decade of service, which is something that's unheard of in this day and age.
Yeah, you don't get that now. You know, it's all about money now, isn't it? You know, people are in and off, and what's the best deal that they can get? You know, but he's a massive favourite with the crowd. Because of what he did on the pitch, you know, if he hadn't produced, then obviously they wouldn't have taken to him. But you know, he must have been frightening to play against, you know, because he loved to kick people, he loved to go through people, and you know, and in a professional way, not behind people and kicking them and doing that type of thing, but being hard and being fair. You know, was what Goody was all about for me. And, you know, we used to, I made him captain of my team. He was always, you know, he'd come in and, what's up, Gaff? Can we have a little chat? You know, you look a bit quiet in here. And he'd come in and we'd have a chat and try and put the wheels to right. And he was a fantastic guy.
As a player as well, was there ever a time when you considered perhaps not re-signing? Because I know when you first came to the club, he was out of contract and that there was a bit up in the air over whether he would return in 2006.
Yeah, there's no way in this world that you know, while I was at Tranmere, you know, Goody would have been there. And had I not left, he'd have still been there in some sort of, even if it was doing coaching with the kids or whatever, or on with Sean Garnett on that side of things. You know, to let a guy with the experience he's got, all right, he might not have his qualifications on the coaching side of things, but, you know, he needs to be kept. And I know Goody quite well, and I'll guarantee you now, you probably could have got another year out of him because it wasn't a matter about he had to change to be fit. He was just a naturally fit person, which comes along every blue moon.
Have you got a particular performance that stands out as well?
No, not one that you say, Goody. I mean, loads of times when we've been away from home, we've been under the cosh. There's that many where he's been an absolute colossus, where he's headed thing and he's kicked things and he's wound people up. You know, there's too many, Matt, to single one out. All you do is think about, you know, what he'd given every game that he played. It was very, very rare that Ian Goodison didn't get every ounce of blood, sweat and tears for the club. I can't remember ever once having to take him off because he wasn't good enough or he was having a bad time. You know, he's just a standout professional.
Well, Ian, Ronnie Moore there, speaking about his memories of you. He's going to be the manager of the Tranmere team, isn't he, on Monday? So yeah. You must be looking forward to teaming up with him again. Have you seen him since you left the club?
No, I don't see him, but I speak to him since he left the club. And I always keep in touch with Brian Licker and Ronnie. Because back home, I got pictures with Brian Licker in my house and Ronnie. Because, as I said, it's a father figure to me. They always look after me. Just don't train today, don't train for the week. Make sure you're ready on a Saturday. So they always looked after me. That's why I'm playing so long, because normally when Brian Licker is there, so you just get fit for Saturday. That's all matter. Doesn't matter what you're doing during the week. You could score 10 goals during the week. You need to score it on a Saturday. So they always say, let's get fit for Saturday.
I'm surprised, or half surprised, that Ronnie Moore didn't give you a call when he got the Hartlepool job to try and get you in there.
To be fair, I was surprised too. As soon as I get that job, I said, okay, I'm coming. But, you know, sometimes it's just one of them things.
Well, let's talk about Monday now then, and hopefully there's going to be a good turnout. Which players are you most looking forward to reuniting with?
Well, Eugene Daddy, Ian Sharp, he was a close mate to me. Ian Sharp, good lad. So looking forward to see him as well, and Eugene Daddy. And Gaz Roberts was a good lad to me as well. Me and he was close.
There are a lot of players coming back from a really good, positive era from Tranmere, because obviously the first season you were here, the club got to the FA Cup quarterfinals. Then the next year they got to the playoffs. They had some really good players in those two teams.
Yeah, like Jacko, Mike Jackson, and Ian Newham. We tried to get Ryan from Newcastle, but he cannot make it. He was a good player.
Were they your favourite memories of being at Tranmere back then, when you were such a successful League One team?
Yeah. I would say that, yes. That's my best memories there. When I was there, them time in FA Cup. We was always win a couple of games in FA Cup, going to like at least quarter final or close quarter final. But last couple of years, when we can pass through first round. So, as I said, I just don't know what's going wrong at that club.
Well, we'll talk about it on Monday as well. And for you to get a testimonial after 10 years of service to a club, it's unheard of players doing that these day and age. They just don't stick around as much. So that must be a real honour to you.
Yeah, as I said, God knows what's best. Because in the old 10 years when I was there, like some team come in. As if I got like friends at different clubs, say the manager wanted to sign me and those type of stuff. But we're just focusing on Tranmere Rovers, and then you got the work permit stuff and those type of stuff. So as I said, guys know what's best. This was the best place for me to stay.
Who were those clubs who tried to sign you?
Well, I think I got like Olam one season. Where Paul Ince was, NK Dons, couple team well, try like, but it just never happened.
And were you happy at, well, obviously you were happy at Tranmere, but that you wanted to stay and continue doing your best for the club because you loved them?
Thinking about it, I just want to play football. And I used to stay with Ricardo, and he do the same thing at Bolton, because they offered him a testimony as well. He's at Bolton for 10 years. And then he said, you might go to our next club and not do well. Then you sit on the bench. At Tranmere, I sure, 100% sure my name going to be on the first match card. So at least I know I'm playing. They might go somewhere else. First 2, 3, 4 game, you might be sitting at the bench. At Tranmere, 100% sure I was going to be in the first team.
We come to Monday then, and you've mentioned how much it's going to mean for you to come out at Prenton Park just one more time. Are you going to use the day to have a little word with the chairman, though, about coming back permanently, maybe?
I'm not that type of player. With Peter Johnson, I was close with him. Because Peter Johnson, I always make sure I'm okay. So my if it was Peter Johnson, I'd be like, what's going on? You understand? But this chairman, everyone says, all right, he's nice and everything, but I never met him yet. So I'm that type of player to go to someone and say, whatever. Just like when I was on the bench at Tranmere, I just sit on the bench and I'm going to knock on the door and say, Ronnie. And I'm going to knock on the door and say, Brian, or to any manager. And the person just chill out. When it's my time, it's my time. And when it's my time, get more hungry. So when I go out, like the Bolton game, the night before, I said to Sue, so don't even see the best of you and go listen. Can see the best at Ian Goodison tomorrow. And then both in game, everyone was like, up to Ronnie, it was shock. Like, oh, I got him on the bench last 4 months. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm a type of player like that. Like, well, I'm not playing now. If Tranmere sign me back, then I got something to prove. And I like that thing with me, I like to prove, to show them so I still can do it. I'm a type of person like that.
And you are 42 now?
Yeah, 42.
But you still think you can go till you're 43?
Sure, before I leave, so I could do it. Because when I sit on the bench, as soon as they call upon me for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, it's sure that's something different for what they got out there. So I don't see the difference with 1 year apart or 2 year apart. And I'm not going to be no quicker, and I'm not going to be no slower. I'm going to be more smarter. And in the Conference League, with this Burns, football Burns I got, I think I could do well.
Well, Ian, thank you very much for joining me. I really hope you enjoy Monday, and it is a fantastic day for you. And thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And I have to give us towards my physio, like Les Perry. He's coming back for the game. And Chan Murphy's and all Gregor's. As I say, he's a good friend of mine. I always work out with him. He's going to be there as well. So I can just enjoy the day with all of my friends.
So the game is on Monday. It's at Prenton Park. Prenton it's Park. A 3 o'clock kickoff. So anyone who is free on Monday, do come over and see Ian in action.
Don't be late.
Well, that is Ian Goodison in the studio here with me, Matt Jones. You're listening to City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9.